All right, guys. My name is Brandon Ellison. I've got Casey Watkins with me. Today we're wanting to talk about working older leads. And I think, Casey, the purpose of this call is really to get people started on a low budget to help people get out and make, I guess, maximize sales and make the most sales that they can with as little of a lead budget as they can. We've got B leads, we call them, bonus leads, everywhere. And I mean hundreds of them everywhere. The cost, Casey, anywhere from $1 per lead to $4 per lead. That depends on the age of the lead. But I tell you, it's crazy. We've had new people go out and take, you know, $50 to $75 worth of the $1 leads and go out and write, gosh, $7,000, $8,000. I think Sonny DeGennaro went out and paid $100 for leads and wrote $10,000 his first week out. Is that about right?
Yep.
I know that that Linwood was able to do the same thing. Casey, I know you were able to do the same thing. Your first week with the company, we didn't have A leads coming in yet, and you took, well, you tell the story. How many did you take, and what was your production?
Brandon, for the first few weeks of production with the company, I wasn't getting any A leads, waiting on the orders to come in, and so I just, you know, put my head down and started working the $1, $2, $4 leads, and crazy results. I think I did almost $16,000-$17,000 of production on just a handful of leads, just, you know, maybe $300 or $400 worth of leads. So
would you say that was a wise investment?
That was a wise. That's a good ROI. That's a very good ROI. And I'll tell you guys, you know, Brandon and I, just like a lot of you guys, that this is how we cut our teeth. This is how we came into business. And in fact, this is how we still work. We still you know, with A leads, and this is how our top producers with the fresh leads they get in, they get 10, 20, 30 older leads, 40 older leads, and put it with their A leads and kind of give a good compliment there and squeeze more our return on investment out of it. So,
yeah, I think
we wanted to just take
a
few minutes
and get started.
Yep, absolutely. So, and it's a good way to go from, it's a bridge. In other words, if we can, if I could go out and, Brandon, that's the way you and I started in the business is we started on $2 leads. And, you know, the benefit of starting on $2 leads, especially in the beginning when you're brand new, is you kind of get 40, 50, 60, 80 contacts under your belt without spending, you know, $1,000. You're able to talk to a bunch of people. And, you know, the more times you talk to somebody, the more comfortable you get on the phone. So if you're brand new, you know, it's a good way to kind of come in and cut your teeth and, you know, then when you work the A leads, you're really ready. So that's why we want to have this
great
call
training.
Today.
Great training for people to get started on those types of leads. I can remember not having a dime to my name when I first got started and coming in and getting just a huge stack of, back then I think they were pink colored leads, and and literally spending 8 hours in a day just mowing through those things. But, you know, I knew that I wasn't going to have to do that forever. I knew that if I could kind of create that bridge that you're talking about to get me to where I could take more A leads and spend less time on the phone and make more money, then it was a great path to be able to do that, okay?
Yep.
But there was an old saying, Casey, where you kind of got to dig in to dig out. You know what I mean?
Yep.
In other words, you got to get after it on the phone. If a lot of you are listening to this call and you're thinking, man, I don't have quite the investment to be able to spend or invest $300 or $400 a week in my business, even though it's going, you know that it's going to make you $2,000 or more, this is a great way to do that and a great way to put yourself in that position. So always want to get started off on those leads because, like you were saying, Casey, it's great training and it helps people feel much more relaxed when they start taking the A leads once they start getting those as well. So,
and, you know, the more
important
thing,
skill, you can make up an activity, right, buddy?
The most important thing is, you know, their families, they, for the most part, haven't been helped yet, and so they're still out there. And so, you know, you start calling through them, and I've never had as good a training as I've had. Is, you know, the best training you can get is getting a no from someone or getting an objection from them, because you learn so much from that. You learn so much more than you do even listening to a conference call like this. So, you know, a lot of people get that paralysis by analysis. They're so worried about getting on the phone. Just get out there and get bloody, and you'll learn a ton from it. The cool thing is you'll go out and make 3 or 4 sales from it.
Yeah.
And you'll make money, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's really cool. So, you know, it's funny, Casey, we were talking about you and I getting started in the business on those leads. I think a lot of the first several batches of leads that I got were bonus leads that maybe you had actually had. So, and we were still able to go out and make sales. When you can clean up behind the master of sales, buddy, and still go out and make some sales, then there are a lot of sales in those. But from a client perspective, in all seriousness, you know, a lot of the people that we're calling on these types of leads are telling you that they've never been contacted. Or they're telling you, yeah, I was contacted, but nobody ever followed up with me. Or they just weren't ready at that time. Maybe some kind of event happened in their life that, you know, put it into perspective for them, and now they're ready to go out and get the coverage. So it's just activity. The people that make the phone calls, the people that, you know, dive in and get the activity numbers are going to set appointments on these things. No doubt about it.
Absolutely.
So I tell you what we'd like to do here. Why don't you kind of talk about the mindset? You'd mentioned kind of, you know, going for no. There's a great book, as a matter of fact, called Go for No that we want everyone to read. But talk, Casey, if you can, just for a minute about the mindset that you have when you're starting to mow through some of these older leads.
Okay. Well, again, Brandon, you know, it's posture. For me, I always think about the posture. I think about the fact that, look, you know, I have something they want. They sent the form in. I always try to remind myself, whether I'm working an older lead or a new lead, is that I have something they want. And so, you know, it's about that posture. I always kind of give the illustration of, you know, a golf swing, because people always want to talk about objections and, how, you know, exactly what do I say when they say this. And we'll get into some of that because that's important. But, you know, it's like that golfer who wants to take a golf lesson. And so he's looking at the golf instructor. He takes a swing in front of him, and he looks at the golf instructor, and he says, "You know, well, what do you think? Can you fix my swing?" And the instructor says, "Yeah, you know, I saw what you did wrong. I could fix your swing, but it's not your swing; it's your stance. If I fix your stance, then your swing is corrected." And that's the way it is when we're out running appointments, because the common denominator of all of our top producers is not so much that, is not their swing. In other words, their swing is not so much better. It's not that they're so much slicker in the home, or what they say just rolls off the tongue better than it does for you. Most of the time, it's just the way they carry themselves. They're more confident. And here's how they get that, believe it or not. The biggest way somebody like Sonny DeGennaro, or I shouldn't have started mentioning names because now I'm going to leave somebody out, but you look at our top producers, you know, Wayne and Leah, Anton Bousquet, Lynn Watkins, you know, some of these top producers, Matt Donovan, Travis Johns, a big top producer last month, brand new with us, you know, went out and did $16,000, $18,000 of production. It's not their swing, it's their stance. And they get that posture and that confidence through one simple thing, and that's activity. Meaning they're just outworking everybody else. It's not that they're better. It's not that they're slicker. It's they're making more phone calls than everyone else. And so that's kind of always my mindset is, look, whatever I lack in skill, whatever I lack in fresh, brand-new leads, I can make up for it in activity. If I get the appointment and I get myself in a position where I don't need to make the sale, then that corrects my stance. And all of a sudden, you stop getting those objections because your posture is so much better. People buy because they like you. And if you have commission breath because you haven't had enough activity, then people won't buy from you because they can sense that you need it. And so the first step is to always, you know, make sure you're ready for the dialing. You know, before this, I was a plumber's assistant. I got paid $6 an hour. And it's funny to me sometimes when I talk to somebody, Brandon, and I'll say, you know, how much did you want to do in production this week? And I say, well, I wanted to do $5,000. And I'll say, well, how many dials did you make? And they'll say, well, I made 120 dials. Well, you know, first of all, I'm proud of them for keeping track of it, you know, because that's important. You got to know your number. So they kept track of their dials. And we do that with tally marks or something like that. But number two, I also know that you can make about 40 dials in an hour. So how many hours did that person, that agent, spend on the phone, Brandon? About what?
They made 120 dials, so only
120
hours, maybe 4 hours, you know.
3 hours. And he's full-time. Heck, even if he's part-time, I'm going, well, what did you do with the other, you know, 35 hours of the week? What happened? Because your goals and your commitments aren't lining up with your actions. you're telling me you want to do one thing, but then when we look at the numbers, you put in 3 hours of work. You know, if my boss had told me instead of plumbing, you know, go sit in the truck and make phone calls, I would have rather just sat in a comfortable chair and had the phone to my ear making phone calls. Why are some, you know, and we got agents that'll make 400, 500, 600, 700 dials, Brandon. And some of it is because they're working some older leads and they're trying to, like you said, dig in to dig out. And so they're making 600, 700 dials. Well, that's still only 12 or 14 hours. Here's the ticket, though. We're scared of rejection. That's why, Brandon, when you talked about Go For No right there, if you have not picked that book up, pick it up. It's a book called Go For No. I don't have it in front of me right now, but we'll probably put together like a reading list or something for you guys on the website so you can look and see what books we keep recommending, and you can get it on Amazon or wherever you want to get it. But that is an incredible book because it teaches you that, you know, basically rejection is a myth. There's no such thing as rejection, guys. Let me explain that. If you apply, for instance, to go to Harvard, and you do not get accepted to go to Harvard, were you going to Harvard before you applied? No. Were you going to Harvard after you applied? No. So what changed? Nothing. Did your situation get worse? Absolutely not. It only gets worse when we go home and cry about it. You know, if you ask a person of the opposite sex out on a date and they say no, were you going on a date before you asked them? No. Were you going on a date after? No. And so you got to understand that your situation is not getting worse with a no. In fact, it's getting better because you're that much closer to a yes. So you almost have to, like, and that's, again, why I think people won't make more dials is because they don't like doing it because it's hurting them. Every time they get an objection that they can't answer, they take it personally. And so my thing is this, Brent. Here's my mindset. This is a long answer to a very easy, short question. My mindset is I'm just sifting through them. You in, you out. If it's a no, that's fine. I'm just moving on to the next one. I'm digging through these leads almost as quickly as I can to get the people who haven't been helped yet, who are lay down, who, you know, maybe didn't get called by the agent or two before them. I'm just a caseworker, and I'm blowing through these things. If it's a no, then, you know, forget it. I'm almost not even worried about how to overcome the objection. I'm just, you know, I'll do it, but I'm not going to chase people. I just work the numbers. And, Brandon, I know that's how you do it, too, but it's just working through the numbers.
Yep.
I'm not saying there's good ways to answer objections, and we'll talk about that, but you've got to get in the right mindset first. If it is a numbers game, you fix your posture, you fix everything with activity.
Yeah, and it's kind of the old cliche that you got to focus on what you can control. You can't control who's going to pick up the phone. You can't control if they do pick up the phone, whether or not they want your coverage or not. What you can control is how many hours, how much time are you actively putting dialing the leads that you have, and you can control making sure that you get seek clarification on each one of those leads or resolution on each one of the leads that you do have. So, you know, don't get so focused on, like you were saying, somebody told you no, or somebody told you you're the 10th person that's called, or somebody told you whatever. None of that matters. What matters is you've got to be results driven. You've got to be focused on the numbers that matter. The biggest number that matters is what does your week look like Monday morning when you wake up and it's time to start running appointments? How many appointments do you have set? That's the biggest number that matters. Don't get caught up in the clutter, which is everything that is outside of that.
Yeah,
focus on the activity that yields the results. Don't get so much focused on, you know, this number out there that you're wanting so bad, and then you get discouraged when the first five people you call say no. It doesn't matter. Focus on the next call.
It's a law of averages. It's a law of averages. If you do something often enough, a ratio will start to appear. And what will happen is you'll make 10 dials, and a ratio will appear, meaning every 10 dials you make, you get one appointment. So you make 10 more, you get one. You make 10 more, you get one. And you know what? The better you get, the better your swing gets, then you might increase that average a little bit. But the bottom line is, look, once you know that number, it's crazy, and you don't have to bat 1,000. And so we're really more or less talking about your stance at this point, and, you know, we kind of want to dedicate the rest of the call to your swing, you know, what to say when they say this, maybe to increase your ratios and averages a little bit better, but it's important to talk about the stance first. That's why we wanted to kind of do that.
Yeah, and I love the analogy to baseball, too. You know, you said you don't have to bat 1,000. You know, you get in the Hall of Fame in baseball for hitting, you know, 3 times out of every 10 that you get up there. So,
about 300, yeah.
You know, those are the kind of numbers that you're wanting to get to. It's all about the mindset and the activity.
Yep.
Why don't we do this, buddy? Why don't we? I think where a lot of people may struggle is just kind of the getting started, knowing what to say on these types of leads. You know, we do approach them a little differently than we would, say, somebody that just sent this thing in a few days ago. Why don't we do some role-playing, Casey?
Okay.
Why don't we talk about just, you know, what that first couple of sentences looks like? Because really, after you get past the first, you know, first 2 minutes of the call, which is the introduction, which is those first couple of sentences, everything else really looks just like the other phone scripts, right?
Yeah, for the most part. And again, you know, what we'll do, especially with newer people, is just, you know, understand that, look, maybe Brandon or, you know, somebody that's real sharp on the phone could get on there and kind of go at it a little bit different direction, maybe assume a little bit more and then handle the objection when it comes up. But we feel like, for the most part, the way we want to do this is we want to have almost like a script for the older leads, especially for newer folks, because when you come in, there's some things that you can say and there's ways that you can say things that I think give you less upfront problems. And so it'll help you to kind of get to that appointment, which is the goal when you're on the phone. It's not to sell the product. It's not to talk about return of premium. It's not to give quotes. It's to book the appointment. That is your number one goal. And, Brandon, I struggled with that when I first started because I was trying to sell it on the phone, and I was never getting appointments because I was talking about, you know, I was trying to talk to them about how cool return of premium was, and that's why everybody wanted this. And, you know, so, but, you know, I think the biggest thing is this is how we're going to approach the B-leads, the
okay.
older leads.
You want to call me?
Sure.
I'm the lead?
Yep.
All right.
Okay, ready? All right.
Yep.
Let's do a little role playing then. Hello, Brandon.
Yeah.
Hey, Brandon. This is Casey Watkins, and I was just calling you here. This is about your mortgage, the one with Wachovia, for $168,000. And the reason I was calling you, Brandon, this was just about that notice that you had sent in, and it may have been a little bit ago. It was about the coverage in case of, like, a death or a disability, the mortgage protection coverage. Do you remember sending that form in?
Yeah.
Okay. And so,
and kind of,
no, just kind of,
you can kind of stop right there, yeah, because explain why you're saying what you're saying there.
Well, a couple things, you know, to point out, again, always use the first name, never Mr. Ellison. It's always their first name. I don't even like to say, hello, it's Brandon there. I like to say, hey, Brandon. You know, you
right.
think about when your buddy calls you, they don't say, hey, it's so-and-so there. If it's a man, I can pretty much assume that it's probably the homeowner, the male. If it's the female, I'm just going to take a stab at it and say it's the female, and I'm going to call her by her name. Hey, Mary, or hello, Mary, instead of saying it's so-and-so there, because the first question you get a lot of times is, yeah, who's calling? I don't want that. Put them on the defensive right away. So I'm just going to approach them like that. And, you know, what if it's not Brandon? What if it's his cousin? Well, big deal. They say this ain't Brandon. This is his cousin. Oh, let me speak to Brandon. So real quick on that, and then the other thing is just it's not so much in this manner. It is what I'm saying, but how I'm saying it's important too because, you know, I had a lady one time that said, I just keep getting hung up on and people are hanging up on me. And I said, well, when are they hanging up on you? She said, right away. And I said, okay, well, when do you hang up on telemarketers? And she said, well, pretty much right away. And I said, well, you sound like a telemarketer. You know, if somebody's hanging up on you, I said it a little bit nicer than that, but if somebody's hanging up on you and it's in the first two or three or four or five words, it couldn't have been what you were saying that turned them off. It's how you were saying it. And so if you notice, when I was talking to Brandon and it sounded like I was kind of unsure about what was happening, like it sounded like I hadn't made a phone call in a year, that was on purpose. If I sound slick like I'd just made 1,000 phone calls before this, I don't want to give Brandon that impression. So it's just, you know, kind of relax a little bit, slow down. And then when I say it may have been a little bit ago, I've noticed with B leads a lot of times when I say you sent that form in about the mortgage protection, do you remember that? And if you say it too directly, they kind of go on the defensive and they go, no, I didn't send anything in. Well, now he stated his position. He said, no, I didn't send anything in. And, you know, especially men, like us, we say when we state our position, we tend to defend it. And so we don't just come back and say, oh, yeah, you're right. Even if we remember sending it in, we got to defend that position we took 2 minutes ago. And so I'm going to say, it may have been a little bit ago, Brandon, I'm going to take that out of his mouth. Because a lot of times you'll get somebody say, well, yeah, but that was 6 months ago, or that was a year ago, whatever it was. I'd rather just take that out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And so that's why I kind of start like that. Notice a lot less objections on D-leads when you say, do you remember, you know, it might have been something you sent a little bit ago. Does that ring a bell?
Take but the objection away before it comes up.
Exactly. What I'm trying to do is establish that he sent something to me, and that's why I'm on the phone with him. There's no point in moving to the set on any lead if they don't remember sending the form in. Now, if he doesn't remember sending it in, that's simple. Just walk him through it. Brandon, this was about, and it, I guess it could have been maybe Meredith that sent that in, but it was about in case of like a death or a disability to where the mortgage would be paid off. Does that ring a bell?
Okay. Yeah, that does
no,
ring a bell.
No, I'm going to say, let me just verify some of this information to make sure I'm talking to the right fellow. You are the Brandon Ellison, some 123 ABC Street. You wrote down your birthday here as such and such, and your height and weight as such and such. Mm-hmm. Give me your home phone, cell phone, work phone. If he's not remembering at this point, it's probably Meredith. I want to talk to the person who remembers sending the form in. I don't always have to talk to the person that sent it in, as long as they remember it. Like if I'm talking to Brandon, he said, yeah, Meredith showed that to me. We sent that in. That's fine. I'll continue with Brandon.
Perfect. So go through your introduction one more time so people can hear it and maybe I'll have you write something down.
Hey, Brandon.
Hello? Yes?
Hey, Brandon. This is Casey Watkins. I was just calling you here. This was about your mortgage, the one for $168,000 with Wachovia.
Okay.
And the reason I was calling, Brandon, this was just about that notice, that request that you had filled out and sent in about your mortgage protection coverage. It may have been a little bit ago. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that. That was a little while ago. Uh-huh.
Okay.
From there, they can go in several different directions, right?
Exactly. And, you know, that you may get some feedback right there, and that's, you know, what we wanted to kind of discuss is, you know, what could they say right there? What are some of the things we've gotten before, and how would some of our top producers answer that?
Well, you know, I think that there are, we'll get into some objections, but, and I want you to talk, Casey, if you can. You're really good at explaining how to handle objections, and there's basically a formula for how to do that. But
yeah.
I think the biggest thing is make sure that we're not confusing simple questions as objections, right?
And so, yeah, exactly. And this is what I've always said. There's detailed ways that you can, here's exactly what you can say, but I think there's three fundamental ways, and these are in order, that you can answer about any objection out there that you get on the phone. And here they are. The first direction I'll always go is question with a question or answer in short or a short answer. In other words, the first thing I'm always going to do is I'm going to try to go in that direction. So that's the first fundamental way to answer an objection. And what I want you to understand is it may not be an objection. It may just be a question. And what I used to do when somebody would say, well, do you have to meet? I would say, well, yes, and here's why, and blah, 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 blah. And I'd talk for 2 hours about why we had to meet. But if I just listened to their question, I would have understood that it wasn't necessarily an objection. It was just a knee-jerk maybe question. And you know what? Maybe it just took a one-word answer. Yep. In other words, when I say, Brandon, I need you for, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, what's generally better for you and Meredith, mornings, afternoons, evenings?
Well, evenings are generally the best.
Okay. And that may work, or Brandon may say, you know, to do what? Maybe he didn't understand how it's coming out. That's simple to me.
Right.
And you shut up. And that's, I think, one of the biggest areas where people go wrong, and again, if you're anything like me, when I first started was I just talked too much. And that's why the first fundamental way of just try a one-word answer. If they say, we're busy, why don't you say, we need to see you within 24 to 48 hours and shut up. When they say, well, do we have to meet? Yep. Or can you send me something? Say, nope. Just try it.
I'll sit in the mailbox.
You'd be surprised how many times an answer in short, a one-word answer, and then shut up. And I'll tell you, your urge will be to talk. It will be to fill in the silence. But 75% of the time, if executed properly, an answer in short will work. And they'll just go, oh, okay, well, I guess evenings. Whereas usually I would talk for 10 minutes about why we need to meet and blow the sale, blow the appointment, or a question with a question. You know, that's another good one. And so that's one, and we'll talk in some of these objections about how to answer a question with a question and in what scenarios that would work in. Second way to answer an objection is to get the emotion back on the table. Look, if they're giving you a hard time with these leads, then what you need to do, I love Mike Pasalia talking about, you know, how many of us think we would make the sale if we were in the home when they were filling out the form. Never heard anybody really kind of put it that simply, but when you really think about it, yeah, that'd be a laydown. We'd all make that sale. So the second way, the second fundamental way to answer an objection, if answer in short or question with a question didn't work, well, you know, there's another one, that first one called humor. If you can get a little chuckle out of them and then move on, man, it reminds me of that saying, if you can make somebody laugh and make somebody nod with you, you're 99% of the way there.
Yeah.
And so that's answer in short, question with a question, or humor. The second way is what we call the why. Get that emotion back on the table. Tell me, Brandon, you know, I don't want to waste your time. What was the main reason why you guys sent in that form? You know, if you can think back, what was y'all's main concern, Brandon?
Oh, well, just, you know, wanted to make sure that if something were to happen to me, that Meredith would be taken care of.
Okay. And when you say in case something were to happen to you, like what are you referring to?
Well, you know, if I were to die, or become disabled.
Okay. And would that put, do you feel like that would put Meredith in a tough position if something were to happen to you there?
It would.
For her to
it would
be paying the mortgage payment? Okay. Okay. So what I'm hearing is that you want something where if something were to happen to you, heaven forbid, you know, somebody crosses a double yellow line on you tomorrow on the way home from work.
Yeah.
You know, heaven forbid that happened, you'd want to make sure that Meredith was protected and would have a roof over her head and not lose the home.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Brandon, you know, I'll say, first of all, you know, I respect that, you know, that's important to you. You'd be surprised. There are homeowners out there that just don't care about it. Just, you know, whatever. I guess they just, you know, I don't know if it's they don't care or they just don't think about it. But so I respect that. You know, we just really, I need you for 10 or 15 minutes. I'll slide my laptop in front of you, show you what your options are. And, you know, if we can find something that fits your budget and fits your needs, you know, I'm just the guy that helps you apply for it. So, you know, if I'm there any more than 10 minutes, it's your fault, not mine.
Okay.
What's generally better for you, is it mornings, afternoons, evenings? And so what I'm going to do there in the second fundamental way is I'm just going to remove the objection by asking them and getting that emotion on the table. The third way is cut bait, meaning slide over. If you're going to keep giving me problems and keep tussling with me, the worst thing we can do as salespeople is trying to keep talking people into it because it messes our stance up. It messes that posture up that we were talking about early in the call because now you get to chasing people. Don't be afraid just to say, you know, look, Brandon, I didn't mean to call and bother you. I hope that's not what I'm doing. Look, if this is something that's just not that big of a concern to you, you know, I don't want to waste your time with it. Is this something that's even a concern to you, Brandon?
Well, yeah, no. Well, you know, we're interested in it.
Okay.
Just, right. Blah, blah, blah.
So what can Brandon do right here is he can say one of two things. He can say yes or he can say no. If he says yes, stop him. Say, okay, you got to let me do my job. I'll help you. You know, I tell you what, if you'll have a couple things ready for me when I get there, we'll have it done in 5 minutes. Fair enough?
Perfect.
If he says no, then how many of you guys on the phone think you would have ever booked the appointment in the first place? It's not going to happen. So don't be afraid to cut bait. Just, you know, we call it SOB, slide over, baby. We got a bunch more people to talk to. And I'm doing
That's
it in a nice way. Exactly. Notice I didn't say, Brandon, I'm busy, so don't waste my time. No, big mistake. That's not what cut bait is. You will get a hang up immediately. I make it on him. Look, I'm the $8 an hour guy here. I got 1,000 people to take care of. I get paid either way. It doesn't matter to me. Look, if this is something you're not concerned, please, I would almost rather just not come out to your house. Brandon, can you tell me to get off the phone? Can you tell me no? Please tell me no. Because you'd be surprised how many people will just tell you yes. Because what happens is people hate to be sold, but they love to buy. And what I've done is I've created it. See, the reason why the guy is probably giving you objections in the first place is that knee-jerk reaction people have to salespeople. They don't want to be sold, and so they give you little objections. That's why answering short is so good, because what you're doing is you're taking away that knee-jerk reaction. I remember the first time I walked down a car lot with my dad, knew we were going to go buy a minivan. He told me we were. We get on the car lot. The car salesman walks up to him and says, you know, what can we do for you today? He says, you know, we're just looking, or, you know, just shopping. And, you know, I'm looking at my dad going, you just told me we're going to buy a minivan. But that was just that knee-jerk reaction that people have. And so that's what all of us have, too. And so that's why these fundamental steps are good, especially that first one, because it diffuses that first little knee-jerk that people have. Especially with the cup bait, if you keep getting those objections, this guy really doesn't want to be sold. You can feel it. So don't sell them anymore. Do the opposite. Take it away from them. Say, all right, well, you know, just tell me to get lost. I don't want to bother you. You know, and a lot of times they'll start backpedaling. No, it's not, you know, we're just, you know, it's not you. It's just we're busy and this and that. Well, now I know he's interested. Now I know he's concerned. Now I can kind of be a little bit more aggressive and say, well, look, I understand it's a concern to you. I understand you're busy. We just need to narrow down 5 minutes to get together. Look, if it's important to you, let's take care of it.
So everybody's got 5 minutes.
Yep.
So, good stuff, buddy. I know that, you know, you are, when you're calling through these leads, you are going to have some questions. You are going to have some objections. Why don't we take a few minutes, Casey, and maybe run over the top objections or the top questions that you may get right off the bat.
Okay.
It seems like with a lot of these dollar, $2, $4, $3 leads, a lot of the questions that we're getting right off the bat is, or no one ever contacted me, you know?
Okay.
We
like hearing that.
Never got a call.
I like hearing that. And sometimes there's a little tone to it. Sometimes you might get somebody say, yeah, well, nobody, you know, we sent that in 4 months ago, nobody ever called us. I'll tell you what I used to say, and I'll tell you what I say now. And I think what I say now, Brandon, I think you say the same thing probably. It's a lot better just posture-wise, because what I used to say was, oh, man, I'm sorry. I don't know how that could have happened. Well, automatically right there, you've given them control. You've admitted that it was our fault. And how in the world are they going to want us to do the protection for them if we can't even handle calling them first? You know, they sent us their home phone, cell phone, work phone. We didn't even call them.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing I know is this. We did call them. Somebody called them. And so here's the way I answer it now. So give me the objection again, and I'll try to get in the frame of mind as if I'm on the phone.
Well, Casey, I remember filling it out and sending it in, but nobody's ever contacted us about it.
You say nobody's ever contacted you about it?
Yeah, nobody's ever called us.
Huh. It's kind of odd. It looks like we got several... We have a record of a couple people try to call you there, Brandon. You must stay pretty busy or something, huh?
Yeah, I'm a pretty busy guy.
Busy man? Well, I hate that nobody was ever able to contact you. Well, listen, they just laid this on my desk, and this is a final notice. I'm glad we're finally able to not play phone tag anymore. But, Brandon, like I said, they just laid this on my desk, and I'm just a fellow. It's a sign of the area out there. In Canton, and I have a handful of homeowners out there that they've given me to see over the next couple of days. What's generally better for you and Meredith? Is it in the mornings or afternoons or evenings? Or so that's the way I would move that over is basically I'm saying, no, we called. Sorry we weren't able to connect. I'm not saying sorry we didn't call. I'm saying sorry we weren't able to connect. You must stay pretty busy.
Everybody loves to be busy.
Yeah, everybody loves to be busy. So kind of feeding into his ego there, and everybody's going, oh, yeah, I'll stay busy. Yeah, I'm all over the place. So I guess we shouldn't talk too much like we're talking to people in the South, because I'm used to talking to people in the South.
Well, we're used to dealing with North Carolina and Alabama, so if you ever hear us having an accent, then that's
exactly
what it is.
So that's how I'd answer that one, Brandon. Would you do about the same?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to handle that one, for sure.
Okay. How about the opposite of that? How about when you get somebody maybe that says, well, yeah, you're like the fifth person that's called me.
Whew, that one always has a little tone to it also, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, this may be one of those times when you want to try to slip a little humor into it.
Okay.
I may say something like, well, I bet I'm the first Brandon that's called you. Or something like that.
See, that's a good one.
Catch them completely off guard.
It takes a confident person to throw something out there like that. I know another one we used to use when somebody would say, can you mail me something? We used to say, I don't fit in the mailbox. No, it can't. Don't fit in the mailbox. You know, if you can get a chuckle out of them, sometimes you get a stone cold look, but sometimes you get a little chuckle. And again, you can make somebody laugh with you a little bit, man, you're about 98% of the way there.
Yeah, and I think it's important, too, Casey, to understand that when people say that, when they say, you're the fifth person that's called me, the reality of the situation is you're probably the second, maybe third.
Yeah.
And, you know, people just tend to say those type things. So you're not really going to be the fifth person that's called. But even if you are, I think the question still remains, well, was someone able to help you? You know, if
exactly.
You say to me, you're the fifth person that's called, I would say, well, was anyone able to help you?
Yep.
And what are they going to say? Either yes or no. Either way, it allows me to keep asking questions. No one was able to help me. Well, it looks like when we have these situations, was it a cost issue, Casey? In other words, was what they were showing you, was it more than you were wanting to invest in the policy?
Yeah, for the most part.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, I'm a broker. I've got, you know, dozens of companies. If you'll let me get a little bit of information from you, I'll make sure that we can get you something that's very affordable. See, a lot of people don't understand, Casey, when we're following up with these clients, you have to understand that if you get that objection, the people that came out to see them, they may not have known how to sell mortgage payment option or the critical coverage period option, or, in other words, instead of, say they've got a $150,000 mortgage, you know, showing them something for $50,000. A lot of agents aren't good at that, so they go in and they load them up a policy, and, you know, it costs $200 a month, and they don't make the sale, and they walk out. So there's a lot of business when you get that objection.
And in some cases, it may have been the first visit. Somebody came out. The agent wasn't very confident. They didn't buy it. They knew they needed it, but they didn't buy it because they didn't want to be sold.
Yeah. They
you
like the agent.
You know, you get an appointment with them, now you're sitting there and they're going, well, this is the second time. We need to go ahead and do this. You know, especially
absolutely.
With our sales system, you know, the close ratio. So, you know, that's what's going to happen there a lot of times. But I think that's good. You throw a little humor at it, Brandon, and then you say, no, really, you know, well, what happened? Do you remember what happened? Did you get coverage or?
Yeah, that's the most important thing. It kind of leads me into another objection you get a lot, and I love getting this one, actually, is someone contacted me, but I never heard back from them. You know, someone came out to see us, but they never followed up. You know, in our industry, we have a lot of people kind of traveling and selling, or, gosh, let's face it, Casey, there are a lot of lazy agents out there, a lot of lazy salespeople, right? We always say the fortune's in the follow-up. Well, evidently someone's kind of let this one slide. How would you handle that one, buddy? You know, someone contacted me, but I never heard back from them.
You know, if it's me personally, I'd probably just go, huh, that's kind of weird. Well, I don't know who that would have been. Well, I'll tell you what's generally better for you guys. I promise you I'll follow up with you, but, you know, I don't know why we wouldn't. What would be your what would be a good time for you guys? Is it generally in the mornings or afternoons or evenings? I just brush that one off. That's a good one. I like that objection. That's not an objection. That's a open the door.
No doubt. And it kind of goes in line with this one, too. Like, someone came out and they showed me something, but it was too expensive.
Okay.
How would you handle that?
I would say, okay. Brandon, what is generally better for you guys? Is it in the mornings or afternoons or evenings? There's so many of these you can just literally ignore and go in for the appointment. And if they give you something, they give you something, you handle it then. But if they say it again, then you know you need to pivot there. But I might say, well, okay, how much was it? And, again, that's a question with a question. You know, same thing with the person that says, you know, five people came out. You're the fifth person that's called me. What do you say to that other than ask them a question? You have nothing you can really say to that. Ask them a question. get them talking more. Look, the person asking the questions is the person selling. The person answering the questions is the person buying. If they're asking you the questions and you're answering all of them, they are selling you on a reason not to meet. If you're asking other questions and they're answering, you're the one in control. And so always monitor. That's almost like a tennis match. Like, who's asking the questions, who's answering? You kind of know who's in control then. But, you know, so on that one, you know, a lot of these, though, you can kind of just
well,
especially someone came out
question.
Too expensive. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like for example, someone came out as too expensive. Well, how much was it? Or, you know, or they may say right off the bat, yeah, I don't think I can afford it. You know, how would you handle that?
I'm going to say, if somebody says, I don't think I can afford it, to me, when somebody says that, that's different than somebody saying somebody came out, it's too expensive. When somebody says, yeah, I don't know if I can afford it, that's knee-jerk. That's them not wanting to talk on the phone.
Right.
And so what I do is I say, how much was it? A lot of times they say, I don't know, and I'm not really sure. And I say, well, how do you know if you can't afford it?
Yeah.
I haven't made a statement yet. It's all been questions, and it's just helped. It just kind of rounded it out, helped to get them back around because I'm trying to remove the objection and take a step closer to them.
Right. I love it, buddy. Question with a question on most of those.
When you go out there and you get somebody that says, yeah, we already got it taken care of?
Well, you know, a lot of agents kind of look at that as a bad thing. I'm going to look at that as a good thing. And basically, the most important thing is that these families do get the protection and the coverage they need. So I'm going to say that. I might say, well, Casey, that's great, buddy. That's probably the most important thing there, that you did get it taken care of. I tell you what, let me get just a little bit of information from you so that I can update your file, and we'll stop calling you. Is that fair enough?
Okay. Yep, sounds good.
I love saying things like, is that fair enough? Very difficult to say no to that. Okay, and did you get the $150,000 of coverage? Were you able to cover your full mortgage?
No, I think I did. We did $125,000.
Okay, it was just a little more expensive, a little more than you were wanting to invest.
Yeah.
The full amount. Okay.
Yep.
And were you able to cover both you and Sarah?
Yes.
Okay, great. And your mortgage, is it for 30 years?
Yes.
And were you able to get coverage for 30 years?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. And what was the name of the company that you went with?
ABC Insurance Company.
Okay, yeah, they're a good company. And I guess my last question, and I'll let you go, Casey, is what were your premiums looking like?
Me, it was $57 a month, and for Sarah, it's $48.
Now, does that give you all your money back if you don't use it?
Yes, it does. It's got that return of premium thing on it.
Okay, good. I'll tell you what I'll do, Casey. It sounds like you might be paying a little bit too much. I don't want to bother you. Would it be okay if I do a little research for you? And if I can find you something that's a little more attractive, maybe I can give you a call back?
Yeah.
I don't want to bother you, but if I can save you some money or at least get you a little bit more coverage for the same price, that'd probably be something you'd be interested in, huh?
Sure. Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Well, let me do some research. One last question. Are you all in pretty good health? Are you taking any medications?
Yeah, we're in great health.
Okay. Well, let me do a little research, buddy, and I'll if I can find you something, I'll call you back.
Yep, I love that.
I like to handle it that way. There's so much replacement business that is available. Obviously, guys, we don't want to replace anyone's business that is in our company. If we're calling and they say, you know, it was through Symetra or if it was through American Amicable, there's a pretty good chance that it was through us. But if they say a different company that we're not using, you know, I may want to ask who the agent was. Most of the time, they're not going to know. But I want to get as much information as I can so that I can hang up, do a little research. I'm not going to try to do some research while I've got them on the phone there. But let me ask you a question, Casey. In this day and age, who doesn't want to save a little bit of money? If I can come back in and show them, give them a call and say, well, you know, I see that I can get you guys the full amount of the mortgage, $150,000, for, you know, about the same price that you're paying now, I assume that's something you want to do, right? You know,
absolutely.
So a lot of replacement business in there, buddy.
Setting up a phone call back, you know, that's huge. People don't mind getting a phone call back, and I think you're that much closer on that second phone call, especially when you get something like that where you're going to have to, maybe you couldn't go right in for the appointment, or maybe you kind of felt by the tone of their you could go ahead and go in and set the appointment. But whatever, you know, people don't mind getting a phone call back. And from what I've always felt, that second phone call back, you're that much closer to the appointment. It's a second layer of communication. You know, that's why we have an advantage to cold calling, is we have something to stand on with a lead, meaning they sent something to us. And so if I can call back and not only have they sent something to us, but I've already had a conversation with them before, I don't have to worry about all that beginning stuff and all that posturing stuff. I can just kind of go right in and tell them what I need to tell them, and I'm that much, you know, I've kind of built a little bit of rapport with them. So I love that approach, Brian. I think that's good, you know, and, yeah, that's perfect.
Okay.
And a lot of times you'll be able to go in. Now, if you recognize the agent and you know he's with Symmetry Financial Group or she's with Symmetry Financial Group, you know, there's no internal replacement. That's a quick way to get fired. if you accidentally did, that's one thing. But you know, we're a team. You know, we're all one team, and so we want to make sure that that's not happening. But there are some people out there that just don't understand. You know, maybe they're a captive agent and they sold a captive company, and you can do something a lot better for that person, and you know, save them some money. So I think that's good.
Yeah. I guess, buddy, maybe the only other one that I can even think of would be, you know, you call the person and you get to where you're ready to set the appointment or ready to book the appointment, and maybe they were just looking for a quote over the phone. Maybe they say something like, we don't want anybody coming out. We were just hoping you could send us something or give me a quote, something like that. And you may get a lot of that. You may get that some of the time on your A-leads as well. How would you handle that one?
Well, if I got somebody that says I'm just looking for a quote, you know, if they follow it by we don't really want anybody to come out, it throws a little bit of a second, you know, something else in there, you know, makes it a little bit more complicated to answer that. But when somebody says I'm looking for a quote, you know, I'll say, okay, well, yeah, what's generally better for you guys? Is it in the mornings or afternoons or evenings? You'd be surprised how many times you can just assume that, yeah, that's what I do. I'm going to give you your options when I get there.
I don't think people really understand that. A lot of times they think that's worse than it is. If somebody's looking for the price of something, what does that tell you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I love looking for a quote. Yeah, but we just, you know, really wanted to kind of, you know, we don't want to waste your time or anything. And, you know, sometimes I'll use my location. I'll say, well, you know, a lot of it depends on your health and that kind of thing. We'll get into that. But I'm coming from Asheville, and you're in Canton, right? I have a handful of homeowners right there around you. So it's, you know, I'm trying to group them all together, and it's going to take, you know, probably take me about 5 or 10 minutes to show you what your options are. And, you know, look, I'm not going to try to talk you into something you can't do or can't afford or doesn't fit the needs or what have you. But, you know, I just need 10 or 15 minutes to show you what your options are. And if we can find something that fits your, you know, your budget and your needs, and I'll help you with it. But what's generally better for you guys? Is it in the mornings or afternoons or evenings? Now, if they're not taking that and they want a quote, sometimes I'll say, well, you know, I can give you a ballpark. Will a ballpark work, Brandon?
Yeah, I guess it'd be a good start.
Okay. Well, let's see here. I mean, based on what I'm just a rough estimate, and I hate to give you such a broad ballpark, man, but I guess that's why it's hard for me to give you a quote. But, you know, I see homeowners come across my desk, applications come across my desk anywhere from $20, $30 a month to and up. You know, we got some homeowners paying $150, $200, $300 a month. So, again, it's not really like a one-size-fits-all program, Brandon. So tell me this. What was your main concern when you sent the form in? Like, what did you want this coverage to do for you? And I'm going to go in for the emotion. And then when I get the emotion, I might take it away from them a little bit and ask them some health questions. Well, tell me, you know, Brandon, a lot of people apply for this. Some people get declined. And, again, I don't want to waste your time out there. What was your, you know, what's your health like? And, you know, people want what they can't have. And if I remind them, this is something you have to qualify for. This is something you can't just buy at the store just because you have money. This is something you have to qualify for. So how's your health? They'll start to sell themselves to you a little bit. They run marathons all of a sudden. And then when you ask them if they're on any medications, they're on, you know, something for diabetes. So you can tell that kind of psychology worked a little bit there. But, you know, again, and here's the thing. I may blow this appointment because of what this guy just, I may not get the appointment, and that's okay. I'm just that much closer to my next yes. And that's what you always have to remind yourself of. Look, you know, if you don't know what to say when somebody raises an objection, you really don't know what to say, just, you know, what do we used to say, Brian? We used to just go like this, in the phone and hang up on it. And here's what you do. Here's the important part. You dial 10 more in its place. What you lack in skill, you make up in activity. I'm not saying don't learn how to answer that objection. I'm just saying don't sweat it. Don't worry about it. Move on to the next one. You'll get the appointment if you play the numbers game.
That's the beauty of working bonus leads. That's the beauty of investing $50 to book 5 or 6 appointments. That's why you do it.
And, you know, write your objections down. Ask them on the Breakfast Club call, you know. Hey, look, maybe you had to do that. Maybe you had to make that noise on a couple calls because you didn't know what to say. Well, write that one down. You know, Brandon, you've always been very good at journaling your successes and your failures.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you something good to stand on.
Yeah,
exactly.
Extremely important when I'm either getting off the phone or I'm coming out of a house or I've had failure or success. I want to write that down so that I can either continue to do the things that are making success or I can stop doing the things that are messing up. I remember I had an agent one time that said, every time I say this on the phone, they say this and get mad. I'm like, well, after you did it once, why did you continue doing it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
But exactly. You know, I think that there's a lot of good information from this call, Casey, and I think that, you know, the main thing is if there's one thing to be taken away is, you know, activity is going to cure everything. Practice makes perfect. I know that you've heard it a million times as a kid. It's the same thing with anything. Continue doing it over and over. And the beauty of this business, Casey, is that you only have to get exceptional. You only have to get good at a small handful of things to make a ton of money.
Exactly.
You know? And so there's a lot of opportunity in those bonus leads, buddy, to have that
practice
and to keep getting better.
Practice, we always used to say, practice, drill, and repeat. And you don't have to always do it on bonus leads. Look, you know, when you're driving around town and, you know, your spouse is in the car with you, role play with them a little bit. Tell them what kind of objections you're getting and then give them some, you know, role play with them and ask for honest feedback. You know, how could I have said that a little bit differently? And think about the psychology and the posture and the stance and all the stuff we talked about today and the three fundamental ways to answer objections and just practice, drill, and repeat this stuff. And look, I would be listening to if this is recorded, I would listen to this 5-6 times. You know, I remember when I first started, Brandon, I had something similar to this. I listened to over and over and over and over and over, and I sounded like the person that was talking on the call. I could answer objections like them, and man, I got really good at that, and I could flat out book some appointments.
Well, if I remember right, you started speaking in a Virginia accent and saying everything, all your R's were R's, but you're right. You want to keep listening to it, guys. That's the beauty of this business is it's just repeat what's successful. Repeat what works. Just keep practicing at it. So listen to this MP3, guys, a lot. And hopefully you picked up a couple of things. And, you know, they say, Casey, that you haven't learned until you go put it into action. So maybe this will create a lot of momentum going forward in your personal business and help you go generate some more appointments this week. Casey, I appreciate it, buddy. That was great stuff.
Yeah, great call, man. Good stuff.
All right, guys. Well, everybody have a great week. If there's anything that we can do for you, you know how to reach us. Everybody take care. Thanks, guys.